Time now for the Border News Roundup, our weekly conversation with Marshall Helmberger. Marshall edits the Timber Jay, and we visit with him on Friday mornings. Welcome back, Marshall.
Well, happy to be here, Scott. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, good to hear from you again, too. So if the Greenway Township meetings haven't been contentious enough, there's more woes happening in Greenwood Township. This time it has to do with water quality. What's that all about?
Yeah, it turns out there really is something in the water there, and we've kind of wondered about that for a while. But anyway, one of the more recently elected supervisors had been concerned about the water quality at the town hall for some time, and she finally decided to get it tested, and the test came back remarkably high for arsenic. In fact, about 200 times the acceptable limit for arsenic, which of course most people know is toxic. The acceptable level in drinking water right now is 0.5 micrograms per liter, and the water at the town hall came back at 102 micrograms per liter. That's to the point where it's definitely of concern, and the supervisors did opt then to shut off the water at the town hall, at least for, you know, any drinking water sources, drinking fountains and whatnot. And, you know, it might be considered kind of a minor thing, except for the fact that a lot of residents of Greenwood Township actually use the town hall to get their drinking water. You know, a lot of folks who come up have cabins, and they might not have a well. They, in many cases, have lake water systems, which is, you know, fine for most of your water use, but people don't use it for drinking. So they, you know, stop with a couple of jugs, and when they're heading up for the weekend, and they fill up at the town hall. Well, they're not going to be able to do that, at least for a while, until the township is able to figure out how to address the problem. It would probably involve some kind of filtration, if that's possible. And, you know, it's funny. This is kind of one of these issues that crops up fairly regularly here. In fact, we had this issue come up with arsenic at the Lake Vermilion State Park when they were doing the campground there. They drilled a couple of wells, and both of them were very high in arsenic, too high for them to use, you know, as a drinking water source for the campground. That's why the park eventually installed a very expensive lake water system, because they couldn't use well water in that area. So this is definitely something that does show up here, and I suspect that this reading here at the town hall is going to prompt a few people to look at getting their water tested for arsenic.
Yeah, it sounds like it might be more widespread around the township or even around Lake Vermilion than just a few sites, huh? How about you? Are you going to get your water tested?
Well, actually, Jody and I were talking about it, and we are planning to get our water tested.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a place in Hibbing that'll test for arsenic for $25, so we're going to take advantage.
Now, arsenic is a naturally occurring mineral in a lot of our geology up here, but it's
correct.
Just the levels that are worrisome.
Yes.
All right, well, let's move on. Volleyball and football and fall sports seasons have come to an end now, and you want to recognize a couple of outstanding athletes from the Timber Jay area. Tell us about them.
Yeah, sure. Well, one of them is T.J. Shabote, and he is a running back for Northwoods, the Northwoods Grizzlies, and he has been just a phenomenal running back. In fact, this year he had the highest per-game average with 236 yards per contest on average.
Whoa.
He had four games this season in which he rushed for more than 300 yards. He had a total of 24 touchdowns. And he finished his senior year here at Northwoods as only the 19th player in Minnesota high school football history to top 5,000 yards in his career rushing. Definitely an exceptional player. And he is one of 10 finalists right now for the Mr. Football Award, which is an annual award given by the Minnesota Football Coaches Association to the state's top football player. And he was certainly, I would think, be in the running for, you know, the top spot there for that award. And that decision will be made in early December. So we'll be following up on that decision. But, I mean, given his statistics and his phenomenal play this year, I would certainly think he would be among the very top two or three as a possible selection here. And the interesting thing about it is that Mr. Football Award has almost always gone to a player from the Twin Cities metro area. You know, they generally have quite a bit of talent to choose from up there, so it's been fairly often that, in fact, almost always, that they end up with someone from the metro area. So it would be really nice this year to see a player coming from, you know, a very small school in outstate Minnesota.
That would be terrific. And the Northeast Range Nighthawks had a great volleyball season this year, and you want to highlight one of their star players. Who's that?
Yeah, that's Hannah Reichensberger, and she is a senior this year. She had another phenomenal season. I mean, she was just the driving force, really, behind the Nighthawks' success, and they did make it all the way to the Section 7A championship game. So they had a great season, and now Hannah is signed a letter of intent on Monday to play for Illinois State, which is it's a Division I team, and she'll have a full ride there at Illinois State. She plays volleyball and will continue her career. And the thing about Hannah is, you know, she's got quite a bit of height, and she's very athletic, and was just a kill machine for Northeast Range this year. I mean, she would average anywhere from 25 to 35 kills a game, you know, which if anybody pays attention to those stats, they know that's pretty phenomenal. And that's why she caught the attention of the Illinois State recruiters. So they were on hand in Babbitt, actually, on Monday to do the signing with Hannah, and her parents and her brother were there as well. And we got a great picture of her mother, who's not only her mother, she's been her volleyball coach since Hannah started. In fact, her mother, Jody Reichensberger, she's been coaching volleyball for, gosh, more than 20 years. She played for the University of Minnesota herself in volleyball. So volleyball definitely runs in the family here. And we have a great picture of Jody, so excited as Hannah is signing this thing. She just couldn't contain herself. She was so excited.
Oh, that's that's just wonderful, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, finally today, we want to find out about Ted the Bear, who had to go to the dentist. What in the world is going on there?
Well, you know, it's like, who wants to be the dentist to a 700-pound bear, right? it turns out there actually aren't any dentists up here that that work on bears. So they ended up having to take Ted the Bear down to the University of Minnesota, where they had a dentist down there who could actually work on Ted. And I believe they anesthetized him during this work because he had an abscess, and they needed to treat that. And, you know, bears generally aren't all that excited about having that kind of work done while they're awake.
Now, where does Ted live?
Ted lives. He is one of the resident bears at the North American Bear Center in Ely.
Okay.
And he's the oldest bear there. He's 24 years old, is just a big lumbering hulk. You know, he's 700 pounds, so you can imagine he's pretty hefty. He seemed to get through it all just fine. You know, he came out of his anesthesia and was kind of back to his old self once they got him back to the Bear Center. And they said he went into his little spot where he sleeps and was scratching and rooting around there and getting himself settled and seemed to be none the worse for wear. Hopefully his abscess tooth will now get better.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know, you don't have to brush all your teeth, Ted, but just the ones you want to keep. So
exactly.
He better take care of that. Well, Marshall, before we go, it's membership week here in Northern Community Radio. We're asking people to support this independent radio service. We think the Timber Jay is very important to Northern Minnesota, but we want to hear from you. How important is local media to our region?
Well, it's incredibly important. I mean, it's a lot of the identity that we have in many of these communities here. And the thing that's so frightening about it right now is just that local media is under so much stress, you know, financially. We're seeing newspapers folding one right after another. So clearly there's a need for folks to help out by sustaining local media. And, of course, you know, KAXC has done such a great job over the years to provide the news and just all of the, you know, the music, everything that you guys do is really important to creating that community, and that was always the purpose of KAXE. and I think you guys have done a great job fulfilling it, and I certainly hope that folks will dig deep to keep you guys on the air.
Well, I would also add to that that the Timber Jay has not only made a big impact in northeastern Minnesota, but statewide in terms of covering and advocating for covering local government and school districts and county commissions. And without that watchdog, a lot of people can miss a lot of important news that affects them without the work of
the... A lot of things can go wrong sometimes in local government, and it's good that folks are paying attention. Everybody benefits from that. It's been an interesting ride, that's for sure.
And thanks to you and Jody for being members of Northern Community Radio, too.
You bet. Happy to be members.
Have a great weekend, Marshall.
All right, you too, Scott.
Bye-bye. Marshall Helmberger, he edits the Timber Jay, and we visit with him Friday mornings on the Border News.